Welcome to Breakthrough, the podcast that helps you to get unstuck, move forward, move on, and finally break through to that next level that you have been looking for. I'm Mickey Ruthman, transformational breakthrough coach, speaker, and author, and your host right here on the Breakthrough podcast. So get ready to break the barriers and break the limitations, and let's dive right on into this week's episode of Breakthrough. My guest on today's episode, Jared Petzer, is the CEO and founder of a Facebook group called #I'mStay. This was a South African initiative that was started a couple of months ago at a time when South Africans were really losing hope and morale was extremely low due to a whole bunch of things that happened in our country. And this group really grew at a massive rate and now has over a million members who are on a daily basis giving each other hope, inspiring one another, and showing kindness towards their fellow human beings and South Africans. So help me welcome Jared Petzer to the Breakthrough podcast today. Hello there, beautiful souls, and welcome back to the Breakthrough podcast. I really feel so blessed to be able to still bring you this podcast that really aims at giving you practical, helpful, uplifting, inspiring content, especially at a time like this with everything that is going on around the world. And for those of you who don't know, I'm from South Africa and we are also going on lockdown in just a couple of hours today for the next 21 days. So it really is such an amazing time to reflect and really rethink our lives, reset a couple of things, and just get back to who am I, what am I here for, how do I want my life to look, who is it that I want to be, right? And we've really got the time to do that in the next 21 days here in South Africa. And for those of you who are not from South Africa and you're somewhere else around the world, I'm sending you love and light right now. I know some of you are on lockdown already and you're in our prayers and our thoughts as well. Now, for this week's episode, I pulled somebody closer for an interview that managed to, at a time in South Africa where morale was really down and South Africans were extremely negative about our country and where things were going, he managed to create a group, a Facebook group called #IAmStaying, that really became a pillar of hope in the community and a pillar of hope to South Africans at large. They literally grew that group just in a couple of months to just over a million members. And on there, they have people loving on each other, being kind to one another, and really inspiring and uplifting people with hope and positive stories every single day. And that is who I'm speaking to today, guys. I am speaking to Jared Petzer, the CEO and the founder of #I'mStaying. And we're covering a couple of topics, but in lieu of what is going on around the world right now, we are particularly discussing the topic of collective consciousness and how and why just me focusing on being positive and helping somebody else through this time, how that actually impacts us as a collective and as humanity as a whole. And like I said, we get into a whole lot of other cool topics as well. So do stay put, keep listening. You're really going to get some value out of this and enjoy this episode right there from the comfort of your own home as usual. So guys, without further ado, let's jump right on into this week's episode of Breakthrough. Guys, so please help me to welcome Jared Petzer to the Breakthrough podcast today. Welcome, Jared. How are you?
Hey, how's it going, Mickey? I'm very well, thank you so much. Considering where we are, I'm in a good space.
It's awesome having you here today, and I think that especially at this time, not just in our country, but also in the world at large, it's really key that we chat about these things, because I think everyone's going through a whole lot of change right now, right?
Yeah, listen, I mean, we're in completely uncharted territories here, so I mean, there's really nothing for us to compare it to. There's no rule book or playbook for us to work from. And I think it's essential for us to at least try and keep keep whatever we can, you know, from a positive mindset perspective, going. I mean, it's just a really strange space for us to be in right now.
Absolutely. So, Jared, before we dive into the awesome topic we're chatting about today, I just kind of want you to tell our listeners a little bit about who are you, what is hashtag I'm staying, because a lot of the listeners on this podcast are from international countries and not from South Africa. So just tell us, what is hashtag I'm staying and how did it start? Why did it start and what is the purpose of that?
Great. So I come from a real estate background. I've built a couple of companies, and I suppose I've always been playing in the entrepreneurship space. But the reason behind hashtag I'm staying and what it really represents is that in September last year, we were really at a pinnacle in terms of where things were going from a political perspective in our country. There was a lot of disarray. There was a lot of disconnect. There was a huge amount of tension between, you know, between different races in South Africa. And I think there was a lot that was being played on to sort of drive that and to feed it. And, a lot of South Africans were looking at, jumping ship and trying to move across to other countries and seek greener pastures because of the uncertainty that we were facing. And I wasn't any different, you know, but the one thing that I was a contributor to all of this mayhem. And I came to realize that because things weren't going very well for me. My attitude was certainly not conducive to anything that was constructive. I mean, I was participating in sharing all the doom and gloom. Every conversation that I had was focused around doom and gloom. And it really wasn't doing anything for my psyche. And it definitely wasn't doing anything for my business or my relationships. So, I went back to my teachings. I've been focused on Abraham Hicks for some time now. And, you know, Abraham speaks a lot about, creating a thought in your mind, attaching an emotional, feeling to that thought, and then letting things manifest from that standpoint. So I did a little video, and it wasn't anything spectacular. I mean, it was a short little video, and it just said, listen, guys, you know, we can either be part of the problem or part of the solution. And we need to just change our thinking and change our behavior. Well, and I was really talking to myself, to be honest with you. And I did a little video. I put it up onto Facebook, and I didn't get a huge amount of traction on the video. But there were two prominent things that featured. One was a person saying that they were a stayer and they were prepared to work and commit to their country. And the other one was a lady that suggested I set up a group. And this was on the 5th of September. I didn't really pay much attention to it. And then on the 6th, I thought to myself, you know, maybe this is something that's not a bad idea. And on the 7th, I launched this group, hashtag I'm staying. And the way that we positioned it was to say that if you're a South African and you're staying in South Africa, tell us your story, you know, tell us why you love your country so much. And I think that message really just resonated because within a couple of days, we had, I think 13 days, we already had almost 50,000 people. And from there, it just sort of rocketed. You know, we 6 months down the line, we've got 1.1 million members. And it's members from every single demographic in South Africa. So, you know, across all the different LSMs, across all the different races, people from different political backgrounds, people from all different walks of life, sort of came onto this platform with a, I mean, it was something to behold. We had to build a moderation team of over 100 moderators within a few days just to cope with the amount of traffic that came through. And it was really touching because we had people telling us about their stories, their trials, their tribulations. They were telling us about how they were helping each other. And more so, we got to see, we got to look at people's lives through this window or from a different perspective. And I think that really hit everybody really hard emotionally because all of a sudden we realized that the challenges we faced weren't really racial challenges. We were facing, you know, these challenges of humanity. And everybody was looking at and dealing with life from their own perspective and from their own point of reality, you know, in terms of what they were going through. And that really just struck a chord. And we just saw these walls of racial divide collapsing. We saw this coming together of a nation and this absolute strength in patriotism, you know, people just really just wanting to make South Africa work. And from there, it sort of set out and it continued to grow and people started throwing these challenges out about, you know, paying for people's labors. You know, the poorer communities would go to a clothing store, for example, and try and get their kids' school uniforms, but they weren't able to pay for these school uniforms. Something so simple as a school uniform, if you can believe that. And so we had our community going into these stores and paying off people's debts so that they could get their kids' school uniforms. We had them paying for kids' stationery, buying kids' school shoes, paying for pensioners' groceries in the supermarkets. It was just a flurry of South Africans coming to the fore, you know, to really support one another. And that really set the tone for us. And, you know, as a result of that, we got a huge amount of media exposure. I think we got a media exposure to the value of about 200 million rand. We got billboards up all over the country. We were on every single major media outlet, radio, television, in the newspapers, online. And it was just this explosion. And that really sums up how we got up to be where we are and what we represent.
You know what, that's really amazing to hear, Jared, because, well, firstly, I want to say thank you for sharing that you listen to Abraham Hicks. It's one of my favorite teachers as well. Really enjoy their stuff. But, you know, this is such a good example for me of someone who had a nudge, followed their hearts, and it just exploded with ease. You didn't have to push it. You didn't have to drive it. From what I hear and what it sounds like, it was flowing, right?
Yeah, it was very much organic in every sense of the word, and it really took its own shape, you know. And I've got we had a lot of people, you know, giving us their gratitude and saying thank you for this wonderful platform. But when you look at the reality of the whole thing, what I did was create this platform and put the pillars in place. You know, we had some very basic rules. The rules were no racial. No racial tones, no political tones, no religious tones. So we kept the whole thing very much like Switzerland, if you will. And I think as a result of that, you know, we had all these people coming on. So really it became the community of 1.1 million people that built this platform and drove this platform. I don't think there's any group in the world that has got this much content that comes in from all over the place. You know, we have very little in terms of messaging. If you compare the numbers, there's about 30,000 posts that come on every single day onto the platform. And that just speaks to how everyone took ownership of this thing. You know, everybody became a part of the success of hashtag I'm staying.
And I, you know, from what I can see, this group really spoke to a couple of basic human emotional and physical and mental needs. What do you think was the need that this spoke to for the greater South Africans?
I think there was one very, very prominent word that resonated from this entire thing, and it was hope. It was a message of hope. And I think that's what South Africans needed. I think South Africans just needed this thing where they could come to this place of safety where they could share their feelings, share their uplifting stories and share their challenges, you know, and how they overcame those challenges. I think it was this one very clear word. You know, if I close my eyes, I can see it quite prominently in my mind. And it's just this, it was hope. It was all it was. It was hope. People just needed something to hold on to. And we provided that, I think, at the right time.
And also, you know, what I'm realizing at this time as well is not all of us have the privilege of having positive thinkers, people who look at the world we want to see or the South Africa we want to see in our lives. And it's amazing to be part of a community that is solely focused on seeing the good for a change. So I think it really also spoke to the need of wanting that sort of, you know, soul buddies that are on the same mental plane as you. They want to focus on the good, right?
Yeah, to a large degree, I don't think everybody, well, I don't think that everyone on the platform had that view when they first got on there. They just saw this thing and they wanted to be a part of it. And something that was incredibly moving for me to see was people saying, I'm sorry, I didn't know you felt this way. I didn't know you were going through those challenges in your life. And I just want to apologize for any viewpoint that I've had or anything that I've said or any horrible act that I've done towards you or your people. Now, this speaks directly to the racial divide that we had in South Africa, because over the last 200 years, South Africa has been a very imbalanced society. It's been one of them and us, and with all these major divides set in between us. And when people started seeing each other for the first time, I think there was this emotive thing that just spoke to so many people. And it was amazing to see how many of our members just said, I'm so sorry, and I didn't understand, and thank you very much for being here, and I love you very much, you know. And that to me was a major win for us. And we took a lot of criticism for this. You know, a lot of people had to say that we were looking at the world through rose-tinted glasses, and that we were putting our heads in the sand. But when you look at things from a matter of perspective, social media and the world at large and media at large provides us with so much negativity. We can look anywhere we want to look, and we can see the devastation going on around us. I think hashtag I'm staying provided a safe haven. You know, not that we were clouded or blinded by the challenges that we face as a community and from a national or a global scale, but certainly this place of just being able to come for a brief moment of relief. And I think that spoke to people's hearts. And then what we really started to notice was the fact that this positive thinking, this positive feeling started translating into positive actions. And then we started moving in a place that was very much towards solution-driven thinking. And that for me was where the formation of the I'm Staying MPC came into place. And we also have a non-profit company. And that non-profit company really started saying, right, guys, it's time for us now. You know, we understand each other. We see each other's hearts. We see this healing, this massive healing taking place. What do we do with it? And that sort of set us in motion for the next phase, which we're busy with now. It's really been an amazing experience.
Yeah, I think it also, you know, I always tell my teams I work with as well that ignorance breeds contempt. And, you know, if we, not just as South Africans, but citizens of the world, we've got all of these perceptions and, you know, social media stereotypes, a whole lot of stuff as well. And until we actually sit down, get to know each other and ask the questions, really ask the questions, we don't have a lot of patience or grace with each other because we don't actually know what the other person is going through and dealing with. And I think that's really a key thing that happened in that group as well, is people got to see other people as humans, individuals, yet again, instead of just part of a specific cultural group or a specific stereotype.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I think we've had these blips of unification in South Africa, right? And a lot of it's been around, well, in fact, I would say all of it has been around sporting. I mean, if you're looking at the things that have drawn us close together, it's been these fantastic victories that we've had from a World Cup perspective in the rugby. You know, that's always been this thing that temporarily unites us. But the challenges that we face there, obviously, is that they come and they go. And I think the one thing that we've done quite successfully is to create this continuum, this continuous feeling of togetherness. And you know, we can't move forward unless we are united. That's just the reality. We have to remain steadfast, and we have to stick together in order to drive anything. Any hope for a better future is got to be around a unification of the people.
Yeah, and I think with what's going on in the world right now as well, I don't really want to say the word because I have affectionately renamed the C word that's going around, affectionately renamed it as the shift for now to try and focus on it as a positive thing. But, you know, with everything that's happening in the world right now, for the first time, not just our country, but the whole world has got one common enemy. We've got one thing that we're all in unison trying to get through and fight, but It's true what you're saying. It's hard for us on a day-to-day basis to, even though we're individuals, realize that we're a unit, we're one, right? And I think that's kind of what I want to address today as well, is the fact that although, yes, we're in unison, we need to stand in unison in times like this especially, but more specifically in terms of, you know, we all know, we've all heard that our thoughts create what we feel, and what we feel is what's creating the world around us and how we perceive it and experience it. But how would you explain collective consciousness in the sense of, why should I as an individual be focusing on the solution and the positive? How does that impact the whole in general?
Well, for me, it's quite simple. You know, do you want to stand and throw mud at everything you see and everything around you, and where does the value in that come? You know, where is the, what positive outcome can come from that sort of thinking? And I think that's really the be all and end all of it from you. But we know that if you're in a positive mindset and if you're in a positive space and if you're acting in a positive way, that you start to move in the right direction. You can do that in your own personal life. You can do it as a collective. You can do it as a country. But we know that the one outcome bears no results and the other outcome bears the most amazing results. So it really becomes a matter of where do you want to stand? You know, what side of the line do you want to be on? Do you want to be somebody that ridicules everything and that breaks everything down and that points fingers at everybody? Or do you want to be that individual that takes ownership of self and that doesn't expect to change the world, but certainly takes steps to change one's own behavior and one's own self and the way in which one sees the world? Because that really for me sums up, you know, what is your outcome? What do you want for your life? What do you want your life to be? The sum of your existence.
Absolutely. And I, you know, the picture that kind of comes up for me that explains it to me the best is, if little old me, now I'm quite tiny for those of you who haven't seen me in person yet, I'm quite a tiny little human. But if little old me was trying to push a car and get momentum behind that car for it to move forward, it's going to go very slow and it's going to be really hard for me to do, right? I possibly won't even get momentum behind it. I don't know if I can move the car. But if 10 others jump in behind that car with me and we're all pushing it together, the momentum is that much more. And I think that's what you've created through this group as well, is it's not just one individual trying to focus on the positive and inspire and keep people motivated and full of hope, but it's now a mass of us that have jumped behind that idea and we're giving it mass momentum. Does that make sense?
It really does, and I like your analogy with the car, because here's a question. If little old you didn't jump out and start pushing, would anybody else know to jump on board and help you push? If you were just sitting in your car and your car wasn't going anywhere, I mean, the chances of people driving past you are quite high. The moment somebody sees you getting out, and this is the thing, you know, be the light of the world, show the world what you are prepared to do for yourself, because the moment you start putting energy behind that car, the people around you are going to notice you doing the same thing, and they will voluntarily do the same thing. It's just a human. It's a human emotion. It's a human. I don't know what the word is I'm looking for, but it's a human condition, I would say. You know, you see somebody doing something, and you want to take part, and that's how it goes, right? I mean, that's a wonderful analogy.
Yeah, we're creatures who mirror each other. It's like when you yawn and somebody else yawns as well. When you touch your face, somebody touches their face. So we mirror what the other is doing. So absolutely, I agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, we had a very powerful article that went out in the early days of hashtag I'm staying, and it spoke around that exact thing. It spoke around the fact that the way you see the world and the way you react to the world is a direct representation of what is going on inside of you. So the world really is your mirror. You know, the world is a mirror, and everything that you do reflects upon you. It doesn't reflect upon anybody else or anything else. It only reflects on you. So I think the question is, you know, what do you want to see when you look in the mirror? And you know, what value do you want to bring?
Now, I've had that question from a whole lot of my clients, especially at this time, and I'd love to hear your take on it. So what would you say, not just as the collective necessarily, but to each of us as individuals, what is happening right now? What do you kind of think that is mirroring back to us?
Sure. I think mankind has lost its way. I think we've become very focused on things that are not natural. And it's been very much driven around power. It's been very much driven around e-commerce. I mean economies, money. And I think what we are seeing coming back to us now is a result of everything that we've put in play over the last who knows how many years. And I think there's a gift in it for us, really, if we want to look at this, if we want to look at this thing from a, you know, from a bird's eye view, we have to say that this challenge that we're facing right now is forcing us to come together. It's forcing us to change our way. It's forcing us to behave in a different way. And it's helping us to help others, because we are all in this boat together now. There is no more, there is no more pointing of fingers. You know, you can't fight this enemy with weapons and with anger. You've got to do this thing as a collective, and you have to do it passively. I think that's the message here, is that whatever we do going forward, it's got to be collective, and it has to be passive. It's a passive resistance that will help us to overcome this enemy that we all face. And hopefully that this enemy is helping us to bring ourselves closer together as humanity. You know, as human beings, we all our differences have been set aside for us. I don't think there was an option in this thing. You know, it wasn't like, you know, do you want to participate? The bottom line is you are participating. And you know, I think there's a gift in here for us somewhere, isn't there?
Couldn't agree with you more. And you know, what I've kind of been doing in this time is really focusing or asking myself, Mickey, what have you been putting out into the universe? What are your dreams, your hopes? What have you been asking for? And one of my clients actually had a good laugh at me yesterday when I said to her, can you believe that the entire world just came to a standstill for you to have time to create that desire that you've had for so long? And she kind of looked at me like, you know, I was a bit crazy. And I said to her, but hang on. The entire world also just came to a standstill for me to take this time and create all the stuff that I have been asking for and putting out there, because, you know, there's, for me, the way I see it, there's absolutely, as you say, there's been a collective crying out for us as humans to just be in unison, you know, get back to the fact that we're not separate from one another. We are all one. We're all in this human elements, race, whatever you want to call it, together. But I think this is really a time for each of us to also, you know, just implore and turn inward and really reflect on what is it that I have been wanting to create with my life that I perhaps haven't been doing. I've been chasing, you know, the picture of what society says I'm supposed to do, or I'm just not doing that thing that is in my heart to do because there's always something else going on. And I think this is really a time where we need to ask the question, am I now going to create something from fear because of what's going on? In other words, if you're going to change your business or change jobs or start a business in this time, are you going to do it as a means to an end, or are you really going to create something that is your why, your passion? Because I think that's, you know, as a collective, we've all been crying out for change, and we've forgotten that we've been crying out for that. And for me, this is the universe just mirroring back to every single one of us on an individual level. What have you been asking for? Now, here's your chance to create it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I think you've just hit the nail on the head. We've been given a gift, and we must always... We need to look at things and find the gift, the light at the end of the tunnel. You know, we have to do that, because what is the alternative, Mickey? I mean, the reality is, what is our alternative now? You know, where do we go from here unless we are prepared to look inwards and act accordingly? You know, and I think the other thing is that while looking inwards, we also need to open our doors of compassion, because I look at people that have achieved so much in their lives, and very often, I mean, I've watched a lot of these docuseries with people that have just achieved the most amazing things. But in the process of achieving these things, of going after these things that I thought were so important to them, they ended up losing the stuff that is invaluable, the stuff that you can't buy with money, that you know stuff that was gifted to you. And it's imperative for us right now as human beings to reach outside of ourselves, to care for others, and to help the collective, you know, to work with the collective to bring about something that is real, you know. And we only get this one life to live, and I think it's important that we define the things that are really important to us, you know, the things that we can take with us on our journey once we've left here. And when you look at what those things are, none of them are materialistic, I don't think. You know, none of them are things that at the end of your day you would be like, I'm so glad I spent my life chasing this, because you know, I found fulfillment. I think we find fulfillment in the service of others. And I think that's true for every great leader that we've ever seen in this world during our time, is that it's always in service of others where we find this gift of being.
Absolutely, I totally agree with that. And you know, there's something that kind of came up for me in my meditation a couple of days ago that I haven't shared yet. I was going to do a video on it, but I'll share it with you guys for now. And that is, you know, we're all seeing how Mother Earth is busy also healing in this time. We've seen so many great reports of birds returning, nature returning to its natural equilibrium at this stage because of what's going on and because of the human element that's not involved. But something else that I think we need to be aware of right now as well is what this is doing right now is actually just it's bringing all of us back to what we were originally supposed to be, which is the fact that every single human being's value is exactly the same. And I think we've lived in a society for so long where the position you hold, your social standing, your bank account, the car you're driving, all of that stuff, we've kind of created these categories that says, if you have this job or have that amount of money or influence, you know, you are more important than the next person. You know, you're superior or inferior to somebody else based on that. And what I find interesting at this stage, what's happening now, is we are all being brought back to you are exactly the same value. Because, I mean, you know, nobody is exempt from this thing. Nobody is immune from this thing. Even Ellen DeGeneres has to stay in her house and change her entire schedule right now. So, you know, if you can think of whoever you think is the most powerful person in the world or the person that has the most influence, cannot even stop this thing, right? So it's kind of, it's equaling the playing field in terms of you are all of exactly the same value. And someone actually asked me when I shared this, one of my coaches, when I shared it with her, she said to me, okay, but financially, how does that work? Because obviously at this time, this is financially a lot easier for some than it is for others. So if you have less money, this is difficult for you. And if you have a lot of money, this is easy for you. And I went and I thought about that and I realized that I heard a long time ago, and I'm speaking under correction now, that only about 5% of the world's wealth is liquid. The rest is all digital money, right? And what's interesting is even those guys, if you think of the richest person in the world, guys, this is, you know, it's stocks and bonds they've got, it's companies they've got. All of that stuff also came to a standstill now. And it's really bringing things back into balance in the sense of those who have a lot are now in a position where they almost have to help those who have very little. So I'd love to hear your take on that. But that's kind of something that I don't think we're realizing is also happening. It's just coming back to that thing of we are all of exactly the same value, and money and status and influence has nothing to do with it.
Yeah, listen, I mean, if you're looking at where we are right now, I mean, 2008 was a doozy for us, right, globally. But 1928 was the Great Depression. That was the big one. That was the real monster that claimed a lot of lives, claimed a lot of businesses, took people that were heroes and made them zero in day. Some people benefited from it, but not many. Now, if you're looking at where we are right now, global economies are starting to melt, and we are facing this thing that they refer to as the black swan. You know, I mean, we're in a situation right now where we are in uncharted territory. All the stuff that we thought was vitally important to us now no longer has value. And that's true for these digital currencies, these, you know, digital markets, when everything that you have, like you said, is all sitting in a cloud, and all of a sudden that cloud starts to tumble because there's no more drivers. It really needs to make you question, you know, again, what am I? Where's my existence? Where's my value? And this thing that I've been chasing, where is it? Where's the substance in it? Because we very realistically, well, potentially we are facing this unknown threat that doesn't have a specific timeline. I mean, this thing is on its own. It's on its own mission. It's got its own agenda. And we really need to ask ourselves, you know, how much of what I've done over these last 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years actually currently right now has any bearing on where I am? I mean, we're looking at guys like movie stars and prime ministers that have all got this coronavirus. You know, these guys are, and their money's not helping them. All they can do is self-isolate and medicate to the best of what they can with what we have, which isn't much, and hope for the best. And I mean, that's the reality of it. So, you could be a billionaire right now and living in the life of luxury, and it's not going to save you. It's not going to save you. I think there's a global mental reset that is on its way. It's happening. We are in the middle of it right now. And, we have only one way forward, and that is we are all vulnerable and all exposed, no matter our social standing. I think that's the true reality of where we are. And I like what you said earlier about the fact that, you know, the world is starting to heal. It just shows you how much damage we've done, really, doesn't it? That the world, in a few days, in a few weeks, is really starting to recover. It's like she's telling us something, you know? It's like we've been given a warning. You know, it's like we've been told, guys, this is it. You know, this is how easy it is for us to no longer exist. What are you going to do with it? You know, what are you going to do with this lesson that you're about to learn? And that's our reality. What are we going to do? What are we going to learn from this? And how are we going to allow that to play forward? You know, I mean, are we going to sit with our house that's too big for us, too many cars that we can't drive, more money than we'll ever be able to spend, while some people are living in the streets, while some people are living in absolute squalor, you know, while kids are going and having to go to ablution facilities that are a hole dug in the ground, you know, where are we going to draw the line as human beings? You know, where what are we going to do with this time now that we have to affect the lives of other human beings? Because that's all we are. We're just human beings. We're all just trying to survive to the best of our ability. And we have an obligation to humanity to step over the line now and to reach out now and to try and help each other now in this time, you know? And we're not even guaranteed that that is going to work. but at least we can say we tried, you know? And that's more than we've done in a long time.
Yeah. And, you know, it's the universe, if you look at the universe around us, all the other elements around us, this is a self-regulating, self-healing, and more importantly, what we need to remember is a self-sustaining universe. And it's really, I think, at this point, it's key for each of us to look at those elements in ourselves and in our own lives as well. How can we at this point, and you used my word, you're on my vibrational frequency here. My two words that I use to describe this whole thing is shift and reset. Because I think it's really key for all of us to do a bit of a reset right now and get back to the things that are really important and relook at what we've been creating up to now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, we are... it's an amazing time for us, you know. No matter what the outcome might be, this will be a benchmark in history and a great learning for the human race, I believe.
What a time to be alive, right? So, in closing, Jared, what I'd like to ask you is, not just for South Africans, because as we all know, South Africans only found out a couple of days ago that we will be going on lockdown for 21 days as well. And some of the other countries and other listeners on this podcast are already on lockdown. What is your advice to South Africans and the world at large right now as we go through this?
Rethink your existence. You know, I think it's time for us to really rethink our existence. And we can take that across so many different aspects, you know. I mean, is your business being affected quite badly right now? Well, you need to rethink about how your business is going to operate going forward, you know. Assume that this is not the last catastrophe like this will ever face. Is your marriage breaking down right now? Well, take this time to reconcile and to think about why that is. And think about what is worth having and what is worth losing in your life. Are you overweight and feeling unhealthy? Take this time to spend a little bit of time loving yourself. I think the whole message, the very simple message here is about looking inward. You have this time during this period to really dig deep and look inside and determine what you want to be, who you want to be, and how you want to affect the world going forward. You know, and I think that is it. In its simplest state is what do you want? What do you really, really want for yourself and for your life and for humanity? What do you want?
Love that. Love that. Thanks, Jared. And if anyone on this podcast wants to get a hold of you or join this movement, where can they get a hold of you?
It's www.batman.co.za. I'm kidding. I'm joking. Yeah. It's so to join the movement, it's hashtag I'm staying, and we're on Facebook. That's where all the magic happens. Just go and look for the group. We've got 1.1 million members. There's a lot of copycats out there, but you'll see there's one very big shining group of 1.1 million people. If you want to connect with me directly, it's jaretee@imstaying.co.za. And you can reach out to us through those two mediums. We've also got a website, www.imstaying.co.za. And that's sort of like a news site. So we try to bring some of our stories, some of the stories that we thought were really amazing, onto the news site and to try and create this positive narrative in a world where things are so negatively driven or focused. And that's it. That's how you get hold of me. And we look forward to seeing you. And we love you. We love you all very much.
Yeah. And I think that right now everyone's staying. So you can all go join the group. We're all staying right now. Jared, thank you so much. This was enlightening. It was fun chatting to you. Thank you for what you're doing in this great initiative and just raising the hope, not just of South Africans, but humanity at large.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to speak, and we're all in this together, right? So let's make it more memorable.
Well, guys, that was it with Jared Petzer, and what an amazing chat, guys. We had so much fun just chatting about a whole lot of stuff before and after the podcast episode as well. And, you know, as Jared said as well, guys, this is a time to really take stock. Take stock of your life, take stock of where it is you want to be, and who it is you want to be, and use this time wisely, right? And from my side, what I just want to leave you with is that we really need to focus on changing our language about what is going on right now, because what tends to happen is that we all get into a space of, you know, it's everywhere on social media, it's in your face everywhere, it's in every conversation we're having, the words COVID or Corona is coming up, and words like lockdown and isolation, right? So try to focus for the next 21 days on changing your language. What I've personally decided to do is every time I see that word in a post or a video or I hear about it or even when I speak about it, I replace those kinds of words with the word shift or with the word reset. In other words, my sentences are now sounding something along the lines of, so what are you doing with your time during the reset? Or what are you doing with the kids during the shift? Okay, because we need to just shift our focus and our perspective off of the virus and begin to see this as the gift that it is to every single one of us in some way, shape, or form. So guys, that is it for this week's episode of the Breakthrough Podcast. Please do connect with Jared Petzer as well. I've left his details for you below in the show notes. Connect with him. Join the hashtag I'm Staying movement. That is also in the show notes for you guys to go join that Facebook group. Really at a time like this, just to hear inspiring, hopeful stories from other people is really going to help uplift you as well. And you can partake in sharing hopeful stories with others on that group too. So do go and join that movement. And then from my side, guys, all of my details are in the show notes for you as well. Please do connect with me either via social media on DM or via email, or you can just leave a comment below on this podcast. I have several groups set up as support and love for other people throughout this period of time as well, no matter what country you are in. And I'm leaving that for you in the show notes. notes. So if you are someone who just really needs support right now and is perhaps going through this alone, or you want that sense of community and upliftment daily, there is a group that you can go and join, a WhatsApp group. And then I've also created a group for people who are coaches and mentors and light workers and health workers, who can just support one another through this time as well. Because as the people who are sort of leading the battle and helping others through this battle as well, we're also going to need support and to fill ourselves up as well. So do go have a look down below. Join those two groups. Do not go through this alone, guys. Nobody should have to or needs to go through this period alone or feel isolated. Please do get in touch with there's loads of groups out there. You don't have to join mine, but reach out, guys. This is not a time for pride. It's not a time for anything, for shame or anything like that. We are all in this together. So please do reach out and just join one of the groups that are offering support and community and love at this time. So guys, that is it for this week's episode of Breakthrough. As I said, as always, I'm playing out with a song, but usually I play out with a song that is something that I love or enjoy. But since there is so much change happening around us, I am embracing the change, and I invited Jared to let me know what his favorite song is that would really uplift everyone. So today's song that I'm playing out with is one of Jared's picks and his favorite that he felt would uplift you guys. So do enjoy it with me, and we'll see you right back here on the Breakthrough Podcast again next week. Cheers.
If you sing it with me, and I can dance. If you teach me, take my hand. Let's go dancing. Da, 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 da. So come and move your body. Act a little, not be led. Be getting great. Watching her smile, so inviting. Please play fair. Let's go dancing.